Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Time now for Dan Issel and Louis Ribot, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
Good morning, everybody. This is Issel and Louis on ESPN 680, 105.7. We appreciate you spending part of your Thursday morning with us. And, of course, the first hour of the show brought to you by Kentucky Tourism, KentuckyTourism.com. Louis, how are you this morning, my friend?
I have a new computer, Dan.
Oh, finally broke down.
As my weird week saga continues, yes. I finally decided to get a computer, so there you go.
There you go.
I have to give a shout-out. So we have a partner at the station over at Louisville Geek. And when my computer went kaputs last week, Diener just said, hey, get over there. Tell them you're with the ESPN Louisville. They'll get you set up. I was like, okay, fine. Head over there. And couple days go by, nothing happens, so I head over there. And I'm like, hey, you guys got anything? Oh, no, you know, you're right here. You're in the queue, no problem. And it's like, okay, cool. Hey, the next 2 months of the year are like 80% of my life as far as broadcasting and different things. Horse racing kind of picks up. It's kind of important. So a guy named Adam over there was like, you know what, then? Let me get this going for you. What do you use it for? And I told him and blah, blah, blah. So he calls me yesterday. And he's like, hey, man, this computer is done. And here are the reasons and blah, blah, blah. And I appreciated that because sometimes you have to find out. You need a new car, you need a new computer, you need a new roof, you need a new whatever, right? And it's not a purchase you want to have to make, but at least someone tells you, right? So I go back this morning just to pick up the corpse of my previous computer.
Why would you want that?
Just in case, like, if there's pictures of my kids on there or something or, you know, whatever else. And I don't know. Just
maybe if a part is salvageable that they weren't able to spot.
You can also recycle these things, and nonprofits can use the parts to, you know, to make money and that kind of stuff. So it's a whole thing. Anyways, but I took them. They're across the street from Red Hot Roaster, so I stopped by. I got one of the big jugs of coffee for the guys, whatever. And when I got there, Adam had built a laptop for me
with all of the stuff that
all of the specifications that I needed to do the show and to do the podcast. He had spent his time putting that together, unbeknownst to him, me having gone out and bought one. And I'm like, actually, Adam, I don't need it. And he goes, no, like, I built this for you. Have it as a backup during the Triple Crown. And then when that's done, bring it back. I thought that was very nice.
That is incredibly nice.
Yeah. So shout out to Adam, the guys over at Louisville Geek. I thought that was a great story. So there you go. Nice start to a Thursday. There you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
So there you go, Avery. I bought something for someone, and it didn't explode in my face. So how about that?
Yes. For the first time in a week.
Well, you can use your new computer. Excuse me. I found my new favorite website.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
It's called New Arena. So you can use your new computer to look up New Arena. It has all kinds of fun content for shows like this.
Oh, okay.
It has.
Do you know what just happened, Avery? Do you know what Dan just did at 10:03 in front of all of the people listening to this show? He just said, what we're doing isn't good.
He told you to do your job.
Louis, you're not doing a good job coming up with content.
No.
Oh, that's 100% what that is.
No. Hey, let me tell you something. You must have had a premonition or something. This just shows how good a job you're doing. You had Strewsbury at Notre Dame yesterday
before
when
they announced
there,
it. Yeah,
when
right.
he wasn't there yet.
Yeah, well, it did bother me because I'm like, where's the headline? I know this is going to happen. And then, yeah, I knew it and it hadn't been made public yet. Yeah, that's right. So I was that guy yesterday.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I love all this stuff. It has stuff on there like, I found this one this morning. It has stuff like the all-time starting five. For every NBA team.
Oh, okay, yeah. So this is summer radio stuff. Got it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
The all-time starting five for all of the major college programs, basketball. I mean, it's a lot of fun stuff on there, and I just
did you make it, Dan?
I just happened to run across that. So what I wanted to ask you is, can you name the all-time starting five for Michigan State?
Oh. Magic Johnson.
Yep.
Greg Kelser.
Yes.
Steve Smith?
Yes. Very good. You're 3 for 3.
If they took Matt, is it by position or are they just taking five dudes?
By position.
Okay, so Mateen Cleaves is out. I need a power.
No, you.
Oh, is Mateen on there?
Yeah.
Oh, where do they have him playing then?
You're 4 for 4.
Because Magic
shooting guard.
Oh, they have him at 2. Okay, interesting. All right. Yeah, he had to play the 1 a lot when they went on their run. One player outside of those four. Give me a hint. Is it before or after 1990?
After.
Oh.
And also. Yeah, what you were able to accomplish in the pros might have shaded this a little bit.
Oh, Draymond?
Wow, that's okay. Terrific. Right, you're five for five.
Dude, I know we talk about guys at, you know, down here, you know, in Kentucky at programs and stuff that are underrated for what they did. Like Goose is like wildly underrated guy at Kentucky, for example, a guy that we've talked to, and you talked me into, you know, especially once Ben Roberts did the article about whose numbers are hanging in the rafters about how good Mike Pratt's numbers were, for example. Greg Kelser is an unbelievably underrated college basketball player. He's just one of those guys. So that was one. I'm glad it was on the list because I would have fought that one. So yeah, I'm glad that was
very impressive. You were five out of five. That's,
did you make the Kentucky one?
Well, what do you think?
Oh, you didn't? I'm sorry, Dan. I. Wow. Okay. So if people don't know, Dan played basketball at Kentucky. And
and Goose didn't make it. That's amazing.
Oh, Goose isn't in the five?
Me.
Really?
No.
Huh.
No.
Who did they have? I'm actually interested in this now.
Well, the player that would have taken Goose's place was Cliff Hagan. At that position.
Okay. Boy,
it was.
I don't know, man.
It was Tony Delk.
Okay,
I don't know about that one either.
Delk's a pretty good player, but yes, top five all time in Kentucky that's pretty rarefied air. Keep going.
And Mashburn.
Yep, I agree with that
for
one.
Sure.
Yep, I agree
Mash
with that
for
yep.
sure.
Yep,
and Anthony Davis.
Okay,
was the power forward. So.
It's hard, too, because, you know, comparing the eras, like, Draymond played 4 years in college, right? And so you got the full experience with him, same with Mateen, you know, that kind of thing at Michigan State. But, you know, with a guy like Anthony Davis, had he stayed 4 years, it would have been a big disservice to him. And so he's still.
What I liked about my comment was it said, probably the best player that ever played at Kentucky for the duration. I played 83 games. I wouldn't exactly call that the duration. I mean, I guess I played there as many games as I could, so I guess that is the duration. But
comment, UPS job text line 437-9680. I made the off comment. Dan played basketball at Kentucky. Wait, I thought Dan was a gymnast coming down on the text line. Oh, man.
All right. Now, Mr. Smarty Pants.
Yeah.
Let's see if you can do U of L.
Oh, I know I can't. All right, so Wes.
There's one on here that you wouldn't get in 100
okay.
guesses.
So Wes.
Yep.
Griff.
Yep.
Is Russ on there? He better be.
Yeah.
Good. I would put Francisco on there, but I know he's not on there.
No.
Man.
Do you give?
No, hang on. Is it like Butch Beard?
No, and I thought Butch should have been Junior? On here. No.
Okay, who is it then?
Never Nervous.
Oh, I didn't mention Purvis. I'm sorry, that's my fault. Wow. Wow, that's terrible. Yeah, that's terrible.
And the one you never would have gotten with 100 guesses was Charlie Tyree.
Charlie Tyree, okay, from the 50s. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, right. So Russ Smith, Daryl Griffith, Charlie Tyree, Wes, and Never Nervous. Hmm. I like stuff like that. I was looking at something else and happened to come across.
Can I guess what you were looking at when you found that?
Sure.
Foxnews.com.
You got it.
Boom.
You got it.
To be fair, those aren't terrible top fives, actually. Usually they're really bad. They try to be hot takey or something, right? You know, and, you know, yeah.
No, they have it. If you're interested, they have like the top 25 programs in the country. They have one that I didn't have time to get to this morning that I'm going to go read as soon as we get off the air, and that is the top 25 college basketball coaches for this season.
Oh.
So I'm really interested in that.
We spent a lot of time talking about coaches this year just because of what happened across the street.
And I did see number 25.
Tom Izzo.
Which, no. I'm sure Coach Izzo is a lot higher than that. I was a little surprised. It's the guy at Arizona.
Well, Tommy Lloyd, 25?
He was 25, but that's as far as I got because I had to do my show prep, which I will really amaze you with how prepared I am today.
Are you impressed that John Clay had confession jokes?
Yeah. I'm guessing John Clay didn't endear himself to a lot of Kentucky fans saying that he's pulling for Rick Pitino to be successful at St. John.
You know, they talked about this on First Replay yesterday, and Streetle is rooting for Rick Pitino at St. John's. He's a bygones guy as far as that stuff. What percentage of Kentucky fans do you think are legitimately rooting for him? Because I think the percentage is very low.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
I was going to go like 20, 25.
Well, that's high to me.
You think?
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
Did you look at Indiana's top five coming down on the text line?
I did.
Okay.
I did. Those were the four I wrote down. You want to Isaiah Thomas, Steve Alford,
yep.
Calbert Chaney. I would put Calbert Chaney in the same class that you put Kelser. Very, very underrated player. And a great kid. I was lucky enough to coach Calbert here in Denver for a year or two. Great kid. Scott May and Walter Bellamy.
Oh, okay. No Quinn Buckner. No
Walter Bellamy. Okay. No, what was the big guy's name that got in a fight with Kareem? oh, man. Help me, Texter.
They will.
Help me, Texters.
Walt Bellamy, though, is probably amongst the earlier players, one of the very best players to ever play at IU.
Walt Bellamy was in our Hall of Fame class.
Mm, okay.
That's a sweet Hall of Fame class. Until the recent one with... what?
I don't know. Just did you hear the pride in that? Just like the how sweet that class was, Avery?
Yeah.
Yeah, that
was... A little.
It was.
Thank you for your contribution, Avery, to the show.
It was.
Was George McGinnis top five on there?
No.
No? Okay. No Quinn Buckner. Scotty May, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Thomas, Alford.
Yep.
Chaney, May, and Bellamy.
Okay. All right.
What's a big... Kent Benson.
Benson. Okay, the white guy. Yeah.
That was who I was trying to think of.
You guys could have been cousins.
Mm-hmm. I met him when he was being recruited by Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
I met him and visited with him for a while.
Yeah, because he started college a couple years after you graduated, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, 4 or 5 years. Yeah. Okay. Got it. Yeah. Kent Benson immediately coming down on the text line. I love our texters.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
All right. Well, there you go. A little top five talk to start the show on a Sweet 16 Thursday.
No, I just
it's okay.
I mean, if you're a goober like me and don't have anything to do, it's fun stuff to speculate. Like I would have Goose on the Kentucky list, and I would have and this is a name nobody remembers anymore, but Ralph Beard. You know, my father-in-law, who saw Kentucky basketball from the Fabulous Five through, you know, just a few years ago, would have told you that Ralph Beard was the best player Kentucky ever had. So, but I get that somebody who played here 100 years ago isn't on the list.
But Charlie Tyree still makes the list for U of L.
Yeah, and Cliff Hagan. Yeah. Cliff Hagan was only a few years after Ralph Beard.
Right.
Hey, Louie, I want to tell you about my friends at Berno's Pizza. There are 14 area locations in Metro Louisville and Southern Indiana, including the original Berno's of Bowman Field out on Taylorsville Road. Stop in and say hey to all the people at that location, and including Rob Moody. Carry out, delivery, or dine in. Berno's has you covered for lunch or dinner. Yeah, it's that good. Berno's Pizza.
All right. A lot of texts on the text line because, of course, it's these topics that get all the texts. Ton of people texting in Ken Benson. It's fun to watch how people are listening based on when they text in. So if you're on the stream, it's a little bit further behind than the radio, which is, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So it's fun to watch when people text in. But thanks for hanging out with us. 437-9680, UPS Jobs. 437-9680 on the UPS Jobs text line, excuse me. Of course, we will have the Sweet 16 today starting at about 7 o'clock.
Very excited.
Or 6 o'clock, excuse me, right after
very
first replay.
Very excited.
Here on 680-1057. Go ahead.
I'm going to, of course, it starts early here, 4:30. And I have a Buffalo Wild Wings gift certificate left over from Christmas. So I'm going to go watch the first couple of games at Buffalo Wild Wings. And you know who's going with me, Louie?
Prime, baby.
Just the way I like it. Nobody.
Imagine you're in a B-dubs and Dan Issel walks in Denver.
Nobody.
That would be pretty cool.
It would be great.
It would be pretty cool to see him anywhere.
Do you have to? I mean, do you?
Aren't you sweet? That was,
see, I can be that's sweet sometimes.
Yeah, can you play "That Was a Lie"? The little sounder for us.
That's like one of the lines in Clay's column this morning. He said, "Rick says a lot of things, and some of them are true."
You see, I did bring in that king cake in January, and no one died from it. So.
To be fair, Pat Jaggers is no longer with us, so, I mean, you know.
He left before him. He didn't have a chance.
Had Pat been here, would have been poisoned for no reason. I love it. Just taking swipes at Pat catching shrapnel. It is a typical Thursday show, too, by the way. Ben Robertson joined us 10:30. We'll have Jay Davis at 11. So
the first one up is your alma mater. You're feeling good about that game?
This would be the game they lose.
Oh.
No. Izzo loses the first game of the weekend, not the second.
Oh. So you're saying if he wins today, he's Final Four bound.
He's like 70% Final Four. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Today's a tough matchup. Noel is that's what the NCAA tournament is built on, the backs of guys like Noel. It just is. But Michigan State has Tyson Walker, who's 6 inches taller. So, I mean, you know, and they play very similarly.
I'm rooting for, and that's a close. Kansas is favored by 1.5. Right?
Michigan State is favored by 2.
Oh, okay.
Connecticut by 4 over Arkansas. Tennessee by 5 over FAU. That was a much wider line earlier. And UCLA is a 1.5-point favorite over Gonzaga. I'm looking forward to every single game on the docket today.
I wish they didn't. I mean, they can spread them out enough, guys, that, I mean, they overlap. Like, I know it's only like a half, but, like, the second game overlaps the first by a half, and the fourth overlaps the third by a half. I wish they could spread them out so that you could watch each one of them from beginning to end. But that's why I'm going to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Multiple televisions.
Absolutely.
There you go. I was part of the rollout of that. I don't know if you've heard about this, Dan. YouTube TV is doing the multi-screen, like you can get for NFL games.
Right.
They're rolling it out. They rolled it out for the NCAA tournament as like a beta test, essentially. And I got it two of the days last weekend, something like that. And it's very cool, actually, to be able to watch exactly what you're describing, which is. You know, there's Michigan State and Kansas State are 61-60 in the second half, and, you know, Arkansas and UConn are playing the first half, and you don't want to miss any of that game either, and having both of those on, and literally you just click back and forth, and the sound goes to the screen that you choose.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's really nice. So you could listen to the commercials that you like so much without missing a beat.
On the road again. Can't wait to get on the road again.
I think there's a lot of innuendo in this Clay article as well. That's very
watching
funny.
BB with my friends. I can't wait to get on the road again.
We good? All right.
On the road again. That's a great commercial. I love that commercial.
Starting a paragraph with "the ride has been bumpy" and then talking about escorts is a funny innuendo, is it not? Is it not?
See, and that's what I was talking about yesterday. People memories are short, and we want to kind of lump that into I was vindicated, and so the championship wasn't vacated. No, you were vindicated for the second. You didn't win the championship because of all the other stuff that everybody knows is real. So, you know, it kind of gets a little blurry there in Rick's memory.
Good for Rick. My favorite thing that happened, though, is as soon as he gets there, he goes after a recruit named Carter Knox, who's a 2024 kid, Dan. And guess who his top school is?
Yeah, Kentucky.
No, Louisville.
Carter Knox is Louisville?
Or am I mixing up players? Oh, my gosh. Hang on.
No, it might be. But Carter Knox's brother played at Kentucky.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought he was down to Louisville and Arizona. Oh, you're messing me up now, Dan.
No, I know. Hey, I'm not going to argue with you because...
No,
I
Carter mean, Knox you is know, UK. You're right. Damn it.
You got Strewsbury hired 24 hours before he actually was. So I'm not.
Oh, mixing up players now. I'm all screwed up. You. Anyways, there's a recruit that was down to two schools, and then Patino immediately was like, "Who's Louisville recruiting? That's a 5-star. Cool. I'm going to go get him." great. Oh man, that's great. Now I got to look it up. Louisville 2024. The text line's going to explode on me here. Oh, man.
Yeah, no, Carter Knox is...
Carter Bryant, excuse me. Carter Bryant, not Carter Knox. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
All right. Yeah, Carter Bryant. And so, yeah, as soon as... all the St. John's gear that's getting shipped to Louisville, I hope people enjoy wearing the St. John's gear. Yeah, right. Rick Pitino picks apart your roster.
Yeah, when Pitino starts stealing players from U of L, just remember, we were the station that carried the press conference.
In the St. John's games as well. How about that? Carry the press conference.
Did you just say we're going to carry the St. John's games?
I think that is the desire of numerous people around this station.
That's funny.
So what do you have happening today in those games, Dan?
I don't know. I don't know. The only...
this would be a good day if you had a strong feeling about one of the games. Like you thought Kansas State was going to win by 5 or something to bet them -3 or something.
Yeah. See, I don't – because the four teams that are alive in that bracket, I didn't pick any of them.
Mm.
My Sweet 16 in that bracket was Purdue, Duke, Kentucky, and Marquette. So I don't have any of them. So I don't have a strong feeling about any of them. The one game today that I'm really pulling for, and that is I have Gonzaga
right
in the Final Four. So I'm hoping that they can somehow pull off a win. And I think it behooves them this year that they don't have that target on their back. I mean, nobody picked Gonzaga to win it this year, unlike, what, the last 3 years, last 4 years? Mm. So maybe they can slide in there. That's the game I'm looking forward to the most.
Yeah. So I had three teams from the Midwest that are still alive. I have Xavier in the Final Four. That's kind of my one, like, a little off the wall. Yeah, I had Kentucky playing Marquette in this game today.
Yeah.
In my bracket.
I think a lot of people did.
Yeah. So
a lot of people. I mean, you know, Kentucky fans didn't realize they had more dudes at Kansas State than Kentucky had. The day Kansas State has more dudes than Kentucky, it's time to give up college basketball.
Just the whole sport. Just put it all. Just put it away. We're done.
Forget it. Yeah. Trash it.
Well, so you mean today then?
Hmm?
So you mean today then, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're just done with college basketball today, right? because Jerome Tang's playing in the garden.
I can use my gift certificate to get something to go.
Who'd you get a gift card from?
Sissy Sheridan and her family.
How about that? For helping her out with a car, or what's going on?
No, for Christmas. It was it was in my stocking.
Man, I had an empty stocking this year, Dan.
Nothing?
Nothing. My wife was like, you know what?
What's Kristen and those Rugrats doing, for crying out loud?
Filling
Are
the
you
stockings.
Kidding me? For all of the stuff that you do for your family, you didn't get anything in your stocking?
I had an empty stocking this year.
I'd start looking for a new family. Good grief. You're over there at 6 in the morning coaching the Scholastic team, and they can't find anything to put in your stocking? Oh, man. No, I'd be out looking for a new family this afternoon.
Ben Roberts, we talk to him next.
This segment with Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau is presented by KentuckyTourism.com.
And welcome back. As my dear friend Mike Pratt used to say, this is the second half hour of the first hour. And of course, as the man just told you, we are brought to you by Kentucky Tourism. When you're ready to explore the outdoors, there's no better place than the Bluegrass State. Hike, bike, paddle, fish, or even venture deep underground, this is Kentucky. Come see for yourself. Plan your getaway today at KentuckyTourism.com. Louis, I can hardly wait for the second hour. I have new reeds for Delta Dental.
Oh, brush your teeth, people. What's up?
After a year and a half, I have new reeds for Delta Dental.
So I have to memorize a new thing. Okay, got it.
We are pleased to welcome in, as we always are, at 10:30 on Thursday morning, our dear friend from the Lexington Herald Leader, Mr. Ben Roberts. Ben, earlier in the show, I stumbled across a website, and one of the things on it was they pick the all-time starting five for about 25 of the major college programs in the country. And I know you didn't have any input on that because Lance Ware is not on the list.
Oh, no. You'll have to send me the link and I'll reach out and see what the problem was.
Why is Lance Ware catching shrapnel on a Thursday? What are we doing? Ben Roberts with us, presented by Martini Bistro, Martini Italian Bistro in the East End.
Louis, I got to tell you, I texted Ben during the was it Providence or Kansas State? One of the games last weekend, I texted Ben, and they had Damian Collins in the game ahead of Lance Ware. and I texted Ben and I said, if they played Damian Collins in front of me, I would give up basketball. And he texted back and said, Lance is now Captain Lance. And he went to Cal and said, play Collins. Let's give him some confidence. He said, that's real leadership. Ben, you should be a stand-up.
What are we doing this morning?
If they beat in Kansas State, you'd probably be reading this morning about Captain Lance Ware, because I had a story on that ready to go, but
we'll never
get to write or read that one.
Is there any way you could send that to me? I'd love to read that.
I mean, I could probably repurpose some of that later in the off season.
After you just besmirched him for 5 minutes, yeah, he's gonna go ahead and just spend time on
Ben's,
that for you.
Ben's my buddy, even though he thinks Cameron is a better expert on UK basketball than me, but no, that's all right. Go ahead. I'm out of questions. It's all yours for the next 25 minutes.
MartiniBistro.com. Check out their lunch specials, their brunch specials, and all their drink specials. Of course, they have the happy hour today, 4 to 6. Check them out in the East End. All right, Darren. All right, Ben. Lots of questions. It's now become, you know, big picture season. It's become who's coming back season. It's, you know, did Cal do a good job this season? What do you think is the top headline right now for Kentucky basketball?
Well, I mean, right now, I think it's who comes back and what the roster looks like next season, unless we're, you know, that's for next season. If we're still looking back at this past season, you know, I think there's still a lot to sort through and, you know, maybe a lot to figure out before next season begins. But, you know, I don't know that by the time everybody got to the tournament, I don't know that anybody should have been surprised with really any result that happened with this team, or certainly the result that ended up happening.
Ben, you wrote a really nice article about all of the members of the coaching staff and where they stand. Of course, Turner is off to UT Arlington. Do you anticipate any other changes on the coaching staff?
Yeah, I think it'll get restructured to a point, and they are, which I think I'll probably explore later in the week here. You know, the NCAA's approved a couple of new coaching positions. It's not clear how teams are going to use those and how Kentucky specifically is going to use those positions. They've already basically, kind of during COVID, they allowed some extra on-court instruction. So, like, Bruiser Flint wasn't an assistant coach, but he was allowed to coach basically on a waiver, which a lot of programs have been doing. So they're kind of just adding a couple of staff positions that can't recruit, but they can do on-court and other type of instruction. So I'm sure Kentucky will take advantage of that. Just how they do it remains to be seen. You know, I expect Rolando Antigua back. Jim Coleman's under contract for two additional seasons beyond this one. You know, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see, you know, what Cal does, how he wants, you know, what he wants his staff to look like and what he wants those duties to be. Especially with all the talk about all these other programs, you know, Duke with the general manager last year. General managers become a big buzz item in college basketball. They lost to a team, I think Kansas State, as a director for strategies, I think is the title that they have over there. They have a couple others kind of like that. A lot of teams are doing this, and it'll be interesting to see what Cal does with it.
Yeah, I have a follow-up to that, and you mentioned it. I've been a little critical of the assistant coaches, and I'm not sure it's their fault. You just said the input that he wants for them. Do you think the way that Cal coaches, does an assistant coach have an opportunity to have a lot of input?
From what I've seen, at least on the court in practices, no. Practices that I've seen over the last decade, and they've admittedly not been a ton. I was in there two or three times this season, and it looked like past seasons where basically on the court in practice, Kyle is the guy talking 95% of the time, and I don't think that's an exaggeration. It's his practice, and I know you've been in those practices, and, I mean, he runs them. That's his zone for 2 hours or however long they're going to do it. Now, at the same time, you have guys who work on the side, who work on their own and have assistant coaches in there with them. Obviously don't see what goes on in the film room and in coaching meetings. But that's kind of the – I don't know if it's a problem, but that's kind of the issue where people want, you know, Cal to have an offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator or general manager or this or that. As long as John Calipari is a college basketball coach, it will be John Calipari's program. And he's been doing it for, we're going on 35 years here. I don't think he's just going to do a seismic shift in the way he's always run things. So the general manager of a John Calipari basketball program will always be John Calipari. Now, if you want to have somebody who deals with a lot of the off-the-court stuff and a lot of stuff that doesn't really have to do with basketball, there's probably an opening there. But as far as the on-court basketball instruction, it's Cal's area, and people who are wanting all these different kind of secondary, tertiary positions, I think once they get in there, unless he just really changes his ways, once they get in there, they're not going to be doing a whole lot, at least from my viewpoint.
Ben Roberts with us at Ben Roberts HL on Twitter, Kentucky.com/sports for all the happenings down at the Herald Leader. You have a piece out today that talks about how bad it is historically that Kentucky is at least not in the Sweet 16. And you mention a 4-year drought that included the last 2 years of Tubby Smith. Here's my concern about next season, Ben, as we talk about. Because you mentioned the Billy Gillespie era, and obviously we're not. I don't think we're there, but you talk about the Billy Gillespie era. Is we heard from recruiting people over and over again when we were, when the Bradshaw commitments and the DJ Wagner stuff, that 2023 is a down year for recruiting, and so Kentucky's going to base its talent and roster on a down year of recruiting. Now, it's still their job to go get 3 guys in the top 5. That's a good job. That's good work by the staff. I'm not saying that. But my concern is we find out that those guys aren't up to snuff, and I don't know, maybe there's not even a Sweet 16 run again next year. What does the world look like if that happens?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's I think that's completely sound, and I think that's been my read on it for the past few months, is that I think I said at the beginning of this season when we talked about, who's knowing what that class was already going to be for next season, I think at the beginning of this season, you asked which team I thought had the best shot at a Final Four, and I said this current team did.
Right. Yep.
Just because you had the National Player of the Year back, you had an All-SEC point guard back, you had Jacob Toppin, assuming a big role, and Wallace and Livingston and all that. There's always uncertainty with any freshman you bring in, no matter where they are in the rankings. That class is down from what I've seen and from other people that I've talked to that have seen a lot more than me. I think if you get to that point and they're not in the Sweet 16 with that class, and I assume some other probably good pieces around that class, then that's when I think Cal loses a lot more of the fan base than he already has, just because at that point, he's done it a different way. People want him to do it a different way. Get some, 3-point shooters, get some veterans. Okay, he did that. And then he did it this way where he had a lot of veterans, this current season. That didn't work. So now he's going back to what worked the first few years of his tenure, where he's just loading up on all these, blue chip top 10 recruits. And if that doesn't work, then where do you go from there? And I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I think what he would say if that doesn't work when you get to the end of the season is every season is different and every class is different, and the pieces just didn't fit together, and anything can happen in March and the stuff he usually says. But you're getting to the point where excuses like that will run out. I think they really need They need Chris Livingston back. They need a really good player, probably a really good defensive player in the transfer portal. They need a guy like Ugano Nyenso or somebody to really take a major, major step up. And again, you're going into a season where you're asking, and kind of like this past season, where you needed Jacob Toppin to take a step up. You needed Cason Wallace to be an all-SEC point guard. That's a lot to ask. That's a lot of pieces to fall in together the right way, and that doesn't always happen. And as we've seen the last 3 years, that doesn't always happen. Mm. That it's hard to do.
Ben, I think you hit it right on the head. I think the biggest key to next year's roster is Chris Livingston, and right now he's not in all of the mock drafts I've seen, as you pointed out this morning. He's not even drafted, not even mentioned, even in the second round. And so I don't see him going pro. I'm thinking his options are to stay at Kentucky or to enter the transfer portal. Did you get a feel? I know you don't have much contact with these players. Did you get a feel as to which way you think he's leaning?
Yeah, I would guess I probably talk to Chris as much as anybody in these open locker rooms, as much as any other player. And I really didn't get a feel. I feel like I did with some other guys, but I did not with him. And he, you know, he's a really interesting case and has been, I would say, his whole high school career, because he's got a lot of people around him. He's got a lot of entities around him that I feel like he's kind of been pushed and pulled or tried to in different directions. But the two big decisions he's made so far, he's made on his own, and he has chosen the toughest path possible that he thinks will end up being the best for his long-term future. He could have stayed and put up video game numbers in Akron his last year of high school, which is what some people wanted to do, but he chose to go to Oak Hill in the middle of nowhere, Virginia, and buy into more of a team system and play a lot better competition. And it dinged his recruiting ratings, because I think some parts of his game were exposed a little bit, but that's what he wanted. He wanted to know what he needed to work on and work on it. He came here, he could have gone to other, I mean, there were other schools offering him guaranteed money, basically, through NIL. He had G League opportunities, pro opportunities that would have offered him guaranteed money. He came to Kentucky because he thought, if I want to be a 10-12-year NBA guy, this is what I need to do, knowing that, you know, some of these veterans were going to be back and he wasn't going to come in and have a freshman season where he averages 18 points and 10 rebounds a game, or even have the opportunity to, really. So his track record is that he makes the tough decisions, and he makes them himself. And I did ask him, like, when the time comes, who's making that decision? And he acknowledged that there were people around him who would be giving their opinion, and he didn't really say trying to push him, but I think that would be the case. And but he basically said that he's going to listen to his mom, and he puts a lot of stock in what his mom thinks after looking at all the options, but the decision is going to be his. And I think if it really comes down to that, I would lean toward him being back next season. Yeah. But, nothing would really surprise me with him. And there are going to be schools. I mean, you know, you can't contact a kid until they're in the portal, but we know how that works. There's already schools through back channels telling his people that, hey, we can give them this, we can give them that, we can promise them this amount of money and 20 points a game and this many shots. I think he's probably going to go through the draft process at the very least, and you might have some NBA teams take a liking to him there. But yeah, I mean, that's the biggest and I think the most intriguing decision this offseason, and it's hard to gauge right now.
Ben Roberts with us, presented by our friends at Martini Italian Bistro, martinilouisville.com. Ben, we now have a Sweet 16 with no Oscar, no Armando Bacot, no Zach Edey, and no TJD. This has been a giant confirmation that guards win in the NCAA tournament, even in wide open years. I do all of this to preface the question: is there any chance that Oscar actually comes back? And if that's on the table, is that actually good for Kentucky basketball going forward?
I mean, I think there's always a chance. At this point, Throughout the season, we've been talking about this question, and I feel like I didn't think it would be good for Kentucky basketball. At this point, you're looking at the roster for next season, and at that spot, you got Ugonna Anyenso and Aaron Bradshaw, who are as high upside as it gets, but as far as instant impact, I don't know. I haven't seen Aaron in a while other than TV. We didn't see Ugonna for the last 2 months of the season. You talk to people who saw him in practice, and they think he's great, but there's a big difference in doing that and going out against, real competition. That's going to be a steep learning curve for both of those guys at the same time. But you have Oscar on your team. You are a very limited team on both ends of the court with what you can do. And Cal's best teams have had that rim protection, have had that length and athleticism. It's amazing the way he rebounds the ball. And sitting up close to the NCAA tournament, it's a magic trick. It's like an illusion that when you're watching him do that. But, when you're rebounding teams by 20-plus points and losing, and you're getting beat defensively, in part because of him and his presence, that's a problem. And I don't think, I don't think he gets better at some of these things over the course of the year. I think he kind of is what he is at this point, especially defensively. So, yeah, I would lean toward you just kind of – if you're Kentucky, you'd probably rather roll the dice with what's next. But if Oscar Schiffler comes to you and says, hey, I want to come back another year, I mean, what do you do?
I think the announcement yesterday – that Armando Bacot is coming back for another year at North Carolina. That made me think that this is a crack in the door, that there's a chance. And I know Cal said after the Kansas State game, he expected all of his seniors to be gone, which I thought meant he wanted them gone. But you're absolutely right. I have a question. Do you come up with all of the ideas for your articles, Ben, or does somebody is there somebody in the sports department that gives you some direction? How does that work?
Ben is rightly terrified by that question. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh no. Hey, Ben.
As I walk into this trap, I would say that probably about 90% of them are my ideas.
No. Let me tell you something. I really appreciate, and this sounds like I'm blowing smoke. You do a great job. I appreciate you coming on our show every week. And the first couple of minutes are devoted to bringing you down a notch. After that, after that, I'm completely in your corner, Ben.
No, I would say probably about 90% of them are my ideas, and the rest we obviously have editors, and then fellow staff members, and even people covering other sports. When we have conversations, they say, "Hey, well, you should."
Yeah, the reason I ask that is the article you did on Anyenso, and you're absolutely right. He has a chance to be really good, but he ain't anywhere close to it now. Why would, and you quoted Cal in your article, why would Cal say that next year he will be among, if not the best big man in college basketball? Isn't that putting a little pressure on the young man?
It's putting pressure on him, which he does, and it's selling, which he does. I mean, he's always done that. That's one thing he has done since 1988 or whenever he started at UMass, and I would assume long before that when he was an assistant. He sells next season, even before this season ends. He wants fans to buy in. He wants fans to get excited. And part of that is, too, he wants – and we're seeing it. We've seen it a lot more the last couple of years with the transfer portal. Mm-hmm. He wants these guys that he wants to know that he wants them. Mm-hmm. I mean, Chris Livingston, when he was not playing – he was playing, but when he wasn't playing like 25-plus minutes a game at the beginning of the season, he talked about Chris Livingston every press conference. He could have 0 points and 2 rebounds, and he would talk about how those 2 rebounds changed the course of a 45-point win. We saw it didn't work. We saw it with Bryce Hopkins last season. We saw it with Ugonna this season. We've seen it a lot with the new Thoreau this season. The guys that he wants but just doesn't think they're ready to play, or just they have people in front of them. I mean, I don't know how good Ugonna Onyeso was, but Oscar Tshiebwe's playing 35 minutes a game, and he can't play them together, and he's not going to stick a kid like that out there for 4 or 5 minutes a game. So, you know, it's kind of one of those situations where he's not going to play no matter what, unless Oscar gets hurt, or even in foul trouble, you're not going to stick a kid into that situation cold. So, I think when you hear that, and when you hear him talk about like guys like that and kind of get sideways and off track of the conversation to do it, that's what he's talking about. He doesn't want guys to transfer that he thinks have a future within the program. And then when you get to this point in the season, he wants fans to you know, stay engaged and you know, be excited and ready for next season's team.
Ben Roberts with us, at Ben Roberts HL on Twitter, Kentucky.com/sports for all of the good stuff down at the Herald Leader covering Kentucky sports, Kentucky basketball in particular. During the season, you don't, it sounds like, get to practice very much or interact with the guys too much. And, of course, after games, the locker room's closed. It opens up for the NCAA tournament. What was Antonio Reeves like after this last game?
Probably is... Stunned is how I would describe it. And he was one of the – he had talked to a few people before I got over there. I started with some other guys and got to him when I could just talk to him one-on-one. But and I had written toward the end of the season about how he never gets too high or too low, and I would say that was still the case. I mean, there were a lot of guys crying. There were a lot of tears. There were a lot of just, like, obviously some self-reflection. And there was a lot of self-reflection with Antonio, but, you know, he wasn't sobbing in his locker. He wasn't doing anything like that. But you could tell, and just being around him all season, I mean, you could tell how much it hurt and how much his own performance hurt him and just, frankly, how much he couldn't believe it. I mean, you know, a shooter scores, you're going to have games like that. But for that to happen to him at that stage in the NCAA tournament, he clearly, you know, was just stunned by what had happened. So... Yeah, I mean, that, you know, those places are never fun, and he was as down as I've ever seen him, for sure. But he kind of did keep that, you know, never gets too high, never gets too low. But he was pretty low, even by that standard.
Do you buy any of the narrative? I've been reading a little bit. Coaches complaining about the actual game balls and the rims and different things being more difficult to play with in this tournament. We're seeing lower scores. Do you buy any of that?
Yeah, the ball is certainly one, and Dan could speak more to that than I could, obviously, playing. But the rims, I don't know. I mean, rims are different every, you know.
Every gym, sure. Yep.
And everybody's shooting on the same rim for you know, half the game anyway. So, but, I mean, teams do use different balls throughout the course of the season, which is, you know, I still do not, I mean, understand why. It's money, but... and branding and all that, but it, from a competition standpoint, it makes absolutely zero sense to have something as important as the ball change from game to game and team to team, and then when you get to the tournament, some teams have been playing with it and some teams haven't. So, yeah, I could certainly buy where that could come into play.
Yeah, the one thing that always bothered me, not always, but the thing that bothered me was more the background than the rim or the ball, and you know it they're all shooting at the same background, as you said, for half the game anyway. But last one for me, and that is your compadre down there at the Herald Leader and our good friend John Clay,
friend of the show,
wrote that he is rooting for Rick Pitino at St. John's. I'm sure that endeared him to a big part of
tens of Kentucky fans. Tens.
Yeah. Where do you come down on the Rick Pitino St. John's deal, Ben?
I mean, I think it's good for college basketball myself. I think it's one, St. John's is one of those programs, especially in that market in New York City. If St. John's is really good at college basketball, I think that's good for college basketball in general. And Rick Pitino is one of those personalities that if he is, you know, on a ranked team in the Big East and is you know, or at least has the ability to make a deep NCAA tournament run, I think that's a good thing for college basketball and the NCAA tournament. So, yeah, I'll be interested to – I assume this is now where he's going to end his career. I think it's a really good spot for him. I think it's a great hire for them if they want to win basketball games. And with the transfer portal, you know, I think he could get some players in there right away and start winning and start competing for NCAA tournament spots or even more. So, yeah, I don't know that I'll be rooting one way or the other necessarily, but I do think it's good for the sport, or good for the entertainment value of the sport at least.
Our culture item today is about kitchen renovations. Ben, have you been through a kitchen renovation with a woman?
No, I haven't. My wife's sister's family is going through a major kitchen renovation right now that I think is taking like 2.5 months. We were up there. When were we up there? We were up there not long ago, and so they went out and looked for tiles for like 4 hours while all the guys stayed home with like 8 children.
They weren't looking at tiles for 4 hours, nope. You sucker.
I texted, I said, you know, both your kids are crying. It's time to come home from the bar now.
He's Ben Roberts, at Ben Roberts HL on Twitter.
My wife's actually in Louisville today, so I hope she's not listening.
She's not, don't worry. Kentucky.com/sports. Go find their stuff there, of course, presented by our friends at Martini Italian Bistro in the East End, MartiniLouisville.com. Ben, we appreciate it, bud. We'll talk to you next week.
Great right, stuff, thanks, Ben. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Poor Ben. I mean, just poor Ben has to deal with Dan Issel every week.
No, he has that coming. Let me tell you something. When you talk to 30 experts about college basketball and you pick Cam Drummond over Dan Issel, you're a moron. I mean, you know, he's got to take a little bit of heat for that.
Oh, man.
No, I love his stuff. He it's always enjoyable for me because I think he writes an article about Kentucky basketball every day.
I think it's like 6 a week, yeah. No yeah, kidding. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I can hardly – and you know what? He's honest. He's not critical. Like a lot of media people think they have to be critical of everything so that, you know, you're talking about them. And he's not overly critical, but I think he's very, very fair about his assessment of the program at Kentucky. That's what I like.
Yeah, I also appreciate that he kind of pulls back the curtain on how much access he really has and, you know, those kinds of things, because I think people just assume he gets to go to practice all the time and he's in the locker room, and that's just not the case anymore. It's just not the case anymore, even the beat writer at the Herald Leader. So, all right, well, first hour of the show, presented by our friends at Kentucky Tourism and KentuckyTourism.com. We'll have a new read for a different sponsor after this, but hiking and biking and paddling, Dan always mentions. But, of course, if you're putting together those spring break and or summer plans, go ahead and check out KentuckyTourism.com. Great resource for all the golf that happens in Kentucky. Make sure you check that out. As well, on the other end, we'll have our guy, Jay Davis, in his normal 11 o'clock spot here on ESPN 680 105.7.
Metro College is a program that helps students pay for tuition, and I didn't believe it. You have to work third shift 5 days a week. It's a great and rewarding thing when you graduate. I would do it all over again, just like I just did.
You know those buddies who magically become medical professionals when you're not at the top of your game? The ones who say,
"Come on, muscle through it."
But then also say,
"Hey, you should probably see my specialist."
Or surgery or pain meds. It's almost always false, false, and false. Athletico's physical therapists, the same therapists who work with professional athletes, can tackle those little aches and pains from the start, before they become big ones. So next time, don't believe everything you hear. Instead, start with Athletico. Schedule your free assessment at athletico.com.